Well, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For what credit is there if when you sin, you're harshly treated or rejected, and yet you endure it with patience? But when you do what is right and still are rejected and suffer, and you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being rejected, he did not reject in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but simply kept putting his trust in the one who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin, live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. I've been contemplating lately, since me and me dad had the conversation about how to deal with offenses, about being offended. And what I shared with him was that dead people don't get offended, and Christ won't. The person that you once were, that got offended, that got bitter, that was angry, that was resentful, that could be unforgiving, that could be lustful, that could be greedy, that person died on the cross. That's why I prayed earlier. This isn't just us walking the way of the cross to see what Jesus did. You're following him to the cross, Friday. You died on that cross. You died on the cross, and you were buried, and you rose again in him as a new creation. This is about your history, not just his history. Not just remembering what he did for you, but what happened to you in him. Dead people, that person who lived with offended life, was crucified. So dead people don't get offended. Christ, who's now our life, won't, because that's not the life that he lives. Now, that's hard. That's challenging. But when we talk about Christ-likeness, because that's the calling God has on each one of us, we say this before, where your identity is that you're in Christ, your calling is to be Christ-like, your assignment is to bring heaven to earth in whatever vocation that you do. But all of our calling has the same calling, to be Christ-like. We're not Christ-like by imitation. We're Christ-like by manifestation. Christ-likeness is not something you're working towards attaining. Christ-likeness is not something that you're working towards attaining. Christ-likeness is someone you're learning to steward. There's a big difference. Jesus Christ, in all that he is, not a different model, the model we read about here, that model, that Jesus, lives inside of us. And therefore, Christ-likeness abides in us. And so will we steward that? Will we abide in him? Or will we act like the old self that's been crucified? So there's never an excuse, no matter what somebody does, to take up an offense towards someone. Dead people don't get offended. Christ won't get offended. Now that's important to me, because if Christ-likeness is my calling, and Christ-likeness has been deposited in me because Christ is in me, the hope of glory, then I want to go as far as I can go in stewarding that reality. I don't want to hang on to pet things. I don't want to pamper myself with some stuff. And sometimes it's painful when he shows you stuff. But it's good painful, because that stuff's killing you. The wages of sin is death. And so you want to, oh my gosh, yeah, that was crucified. That person died on the cross. And then we learn to steward the life of Christ in that area. We're transformed in the renewing of our mind. We come into agreement with the way he thinks and sees about things, and we repent into that. So one of the questions I asked the Lord said, so, is it okay to get your feelings hurt? No, of course it is. Is it okay to walk around with hurt feelings? Because that's, of course, where offense all grows from, right? That's the soil. So I began to ask the question, so this is the only way I know how to do this, because Christ-likeness is what we're after, right? So Jesus, did you walk around with hurt feelings? Now, we know you didn't walk around with an offense, but did you walk around with hurt feelings? Did you ever get hurt? So I would say the question would be, Jesus knew the pain of being hurt because he clothed himself in our humanity, as he has still now. But what did he do with that? Did he walk around with hurt feelings? And the answer biblically is no, absolutely not. Think about it. The verses I just read to you, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. Ooh, Jesus is the plumb line. It's got to be him. Now, only he can be himself. But we don't get to make up a new version of what Christ-likeness looks like, because that way we don't have to change. If you're going after the experience of stewarding Christ-likeness, it's going to be constant transformation. Not just change, but constant transformation. It's going to transcend anything you've ever done or been before. While being rejected, he didn't reject in return. You ever pouted? I just never see Jesus pouting. Yeah, but you don't understand what Bishop they said to me or what they did. I didn't ask you that. I'm wanting to know, are you going after Christ-likeness? I mean, or unless you change the standard. Now, here's the deal. If you want to change the standard, then you're going to lessen your experience. And life more abundant, is measured by the degree that we steward Christ-likeness. He said he uttered no threats. He kept entrusting himself and then to God. And then he says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin, live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed. Now, his wounds weren't just the physical stripes. He talks about his being rejected. By his rejections, what happened? We got healed. The cross was humanity's rejection. You understand? Jesus accomplished death, but we were the instruments that killed him. But they spat on him, mocked him, made fun of him. He was rejected. He had done nothing but heal people, make people whole, manifest the love of God, the Father, and he was rejected. And yet, from the cross, he didn't go, you can't imagine how much my feelings are hurt towards you guys. Because here's the deal. When I think about how, just some stories we've talked about lately, in Matthew 26, when Jesus says he's about to go to the mount to pray, to Gethsemane, and he tells John and Peter and James to come with him, and he says, I'm distressed even to the point I think I'm going to die. It was a heavy, emotional time. Come with me. Keep watch with me. Pray for me. It'll help if you'll pray for me. But they didn't. He found him asleep every time. And yet he didn't have his feelings hurt towards them. When Jesus got hurt, when people disappointed him, it was immediately converted in being hurt for them, not hurt with them. And that's a big difference. By his wounds, people get healed. And so in the second time he found them asleep, he said, guys, you can't even keep watch. He said, you should keep watch lest you fall into temptation, because I know the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. What's he doing? Trying to teach them, help them. If your feelings get hurt with somebody, you don't want to help them. You want them to get it. I want them to understand how much it hurt my feelings, and they need to really feel bad about it. That's the goal. It says in Luke 22 that after it explains that when Jesus found them asleep the third time, it was because they had such great sorrow. In Luke 22, right after the Eucharist, Jesus tells them, one of you guys sitting at this table is going to betray me. They start to argue about who it's going to be. They don't trust each other. That's a good discipleship group after 3.5 years of intense discipleship. And immediately then, now Jesus just said, one of them is going to betray him. That's a big deal. They're arguing with each other who it's going to be. And then in the midst of the argument, changes over to, I'm not going to betray. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Then they start arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Did Jesus get his feelings hurt with them? No. He was hurt for them. And he begins to say, you know, it's the Gentiles who want to lord it over people. He said, but you've stood with me all this time. What? He's affirming them. And then says, and you'll actually govern over the different tribes in the kingdom of heaven. And he just affirms them, loves them, affirms them, doesn't reject them, isn't hurt with them. He's hurt for them. So he sees their failure as an opportunity to do what? Bring healing to them, to instruct them. Right after that, he tells Peter, guess what? You're going to deny me 3 times. He said, but I'm praying for you that your faith won't fail. And when you turn again, strengthen your brothers. What? Like, you're the head disciple. You're going to deny me 3 times. You're actually going to cuss everybody out for saying that you are part of me. But here's the deal, Peter. I know who you are. And even though when I first called you, you said, when you caught all those fish, you said, Lord, I'm a sinful man, depart from me. And I said, I'm not going anywhere. I've called you to be a fisherman. He was hurt for him, but said, but you're going to turn and you're going to strengthen your brothers. When Peter, after denying him, and Christ comes out of the place of trial, he looks, Jesus comes out and he turns to Peter, not with condemnation, with compassion. And it broke him. Why? Jesus wasn't hurt with him. He was hurt for him. And we could give example after example after example. You say, well, Bishop, that's getting kind of minute stuff, you know? Like, come on, man, let me live my life like normal people. I don't want you to be like normal people. If you want to be like normal people, you should have just stayed lost. It's not like we sign up and go, okay, I long to you, Jesus, I love you, but I want to act like I want to act whenever I want to act. What's our calling? Christlikeness. We're going to change the world through Christlikeness by stewarding his life, and it gets down to the details. You say, well, man, that's hard. It's impossible. That's why you have to steward the life of Christ. That's why you have to say yes to his heart. So you don't always walk around being hurt with people. It's not a personality type. It's just sin. But I can be hurt for people. And when they do things to hurt me, I can see that as an opportunity to love them. Because I know that they have the law of sin in their fleshes like I do. And so I know there's something going on. A broken place, a hurt place, something could have ancient roots. And I want to love them. That's the thing we go after. It may not be what you walk in all the time, but it's what you're called to walk in. So at least you know how to repent when you don't. Because you see, this week, we're not trying to die to self. This week, when Jesus marched to the cross, you went there with him. And when you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to what he'd already accomplished, the killing of the old self and the resurrection of a whole new you, of whom Christ is now your life. And he becomes your standard, not your family's history standard, not your own particular personality standard. He, it's him. Don't settle for less. Go into the dentist. I've said before, I'd rather go have heart surgery than go to the dentist. Okay, now I've done both. And I will now reaffirm, I would rather have heart surgery than go to the dentist because they hurt really bad and they make these noises that makes you want to shoot yourself in the head. Like scratching over, right? So sometimes it's difficult to go to the dentist, but actually when it's done, you feel a lot better if you have an abscess too. Repentance sometimes like that. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, it's funny that when we talk about Christlikeness and Jesus came, you might have life and have it more abundantly, we all go, yes, yes, joy unspeakable, full of glory, peace that passes understanding, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And then we start reading the fine print. You can't walk around offended. You can't walk around your feelings hurt. It's not okay to look at that. It's not okay to say that. It's not okay to think that. Oh, I thought I'd just have love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, while still acting like I normally do. Used to do. It doesn't work that way. All righty, let's stand together.